Even in Rabbi Yisai, Yontav is on the horizon, Shabbos is Shabbos Vorchem, next month is Shabbos Shavuos. I'm going to talk a little bit about Yontav. Yontav is very clearly demarcated in the halacha from Shabbos in two or three particular things in terms of the common perception. And the common perception is as accurate as it goes. There's a lot more. But if you ask someone what defines the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, they would tell us about. Principally, Melechos Ochol Nefesh is Mutter on Yom Tov, food preparation activities. And in that regard, of course, you could not conceivably cook if you couldn't use fire in some regard. So you can't start a new fire. According to most Shittas Rishonim, it's a Din D'Rabbanan. And we can transfer from an existing fire. It's obviously, if you're going to cook, you have to be able to light a fire. Especially in the world that they were in, they didn't have a gas range, but it was a constant feed of gas. You had to keep adding solid fuel to the fire. And hatzah and carrying is the other thing, which is mutar on Yom Tov and also on Shabbos. Those in the common perception, that's what defines Yom Tov. It's very interesting. We read in last Shabbos in Parshas Emor, Parshas Amayadis. In Parshas Amayadis, it says, "Eilim o'adei Hashem mikroy kodesh, asher tikro osam mikroy kodesh, eilahim o'adoi, eilahim o'adoi." And then all of a sudden, Sheish is yomim te'osam alocha, v'yomim shi shabash shabosam yech kodesh, kom alocha lo yisasu. So Rashi translates this passage to be referring to Shabbos. And if you mekayim Shabbos, gilu mekayim liyom tov, gilu mekayim liyom tov, gilu mekayim Shabbos. Somehow Shabbos got mixed into this milya, which is dealing solely with Hilchos Yom Tov. The introduction, Eilam O'adei Hashem Mekroi Kodesh, Tikrosam O'adei. So there's a very famous teaching of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon says, this parasha b'chal not before, there's nothing to do with Shabbos at all. Midaraisa, there are 7 days of Yom Tov in the Torah. Right? This is a 1 day Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur, 1 day Shavuos. Pesach has a day at the beginning, at the end. Sukkot has a day at the beginning, at the end. So Sachar calls 7. So the Vilna Gaon tells us the way to read this Pesukim is Sheishes Yomim Teosa Melocha. 6 of these days that I'm going to describe to you in the following parasha, Gedum Melechos Ochol Nefesh. Or by Yom Hashi, Shabbat Shabbosim. As soon as we hear Shabbat Shabbosim, we hear the rhythm of Yom HaKippurim, which is referred to in the Tfilas of Shabbat Shabbosim. Kol Melocha Lo Yisasim. You can't do any malocha on the 7th. That's Yom Kippur. There's no heter or malocha nefesh. What?
It takes issue with Rashi? Argues with Rashi?
So it's a different pshat. Pshat and psukim, anyone could say any pshat. As long as it's correct in Torah. Psukim are open to darshan as one wishes. But they have to have enough knowledge to know you're consistent with the principles of the Torah. That certainly the Vilna Gaon was capable of doing that. So Melechos Ochol Nefesh defines really what Shabbos is about. What Yom Tov is about, rather. And Rameya Simcha, also on last week's Parshan Emor, in discussing the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, makes the following observation. And his observation about Yom Tov is rooted in the Rambam, in the Chelek Gimel of the Mor Nevuchim. So Shabbos, we are united in that, in the sense that we have a commonality of worship. We're all recognized the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're all doing the same mitzvahs. That's what unites Klal Yisrael and Shabbos. But Yom Tov, we're united much more through social cohesiveness. And he brings the Rambam that part of Yom Tov, in fact, is to bring about an achdus in Klal Yisrael, the social aspect in Klal Yisrael. And he says, that's why Rameya Simcha says that Ochol Nefesh and Hatzah Mutter. On Shabbos, I can only deal with you basically if I invited you before Shabbos. So I prepared food for you. And that's it. If I didn't cook food, I can't cook for you on Shabbos. I can't even go down the block to bring a chicken from my neighbor to serve you. So I had to have prepared before Shabbos to be able to function on Shabbos. Yontif is the maximum social. I meet you in shul, and I say, hey, would you like to come? Did you prepare? What do you mean prepare? I'll take another chicken out of the freezer, and I'll put throw it in the oven now. I'll be prepared. Oh, I'm out of chicken. I'll knock on my next door neighbor, borrow a chicken from him. And, you know, a steak from him, and I'll make one for you. After Yontif, I'll fix it up with my neighbor. So the Rameya Simcha writes, so Mameyla, the Yontif, the Achdus and Klal Yisrael is by social cohesiveness. We break bread together. That's what Yontif is about, and that's why Ochel Nefesh is Mutter. So it's a very beautiful approach where the Halacha expresses the intent of the Rabbeinu Shalom for what we ought to accomplish on that particular day. The Yontif is Mikra Muot. What's Mutter on Yontif, it is one little snip in one pasuk in Parshas Bo. That's it. That's the beginning and end of Hilchos Yontif, all in one pasuk. And Chazal parsed this pasuk very, very carefully. Every word in this pasuk, they looked at, they put it under the scope. So we started off simply, Achasher Yeyochel L'chol Nefesh, Hu L'vado Yeyoseh L'chem. Ought to be, if I read the pasuk, take the chumash literally as it says, that what's mutter to do on Yontif is Ochel Nefesh. I can cook on Yontif. I can prepare food on Yontif. Suppose I want to carry a sefer with me to shul, carry my child with me, carry a lulav and esrog, a sefer Torah, should be prohibited. It's not Ochel Nefesh. And in fact, that's the view of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, the license to do malach on Yontif is as the Torah said. That's it. That's the beginning and that's the end. We know common practice is not that way. You carry other things on Yontif other than for Ochel Nefesh. So this stems, we have a principle articulated in the Gemara and Be'er Daf Yud Beis, Mitoch Shahut Rolitzairach Hut Rinami Shaloi Litzairach, which Tosfos defines to mean just as things were made mutter for Tzairach Ochel Nefesh, similarly they were mutter made mutter for other Yontif needs, even if they are not Ochel Nefesh. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Where this comes from, it's rather, I found it fascinating always that there's no Gemara that explores where it comes from. I mean, I would have thought that if it's such a revolutionary Chiddush of Beis Hillel, which transcends the Pasuk, changes the Pasuk entirely, its impact, the Halacha, that Chazal would discuss where this came from, what it's based on, nearly a word in the entire Shas on this subject. If one wants to know, you can look in the Rishonim and Ksuvos Daf Zayin, Amar Aleph, and there are a couple of approaches in the Rishonim to where the Din Mitoch came from. What I understand, what I don't understand, be that as it may. But we have the principle of Mitoch. Where Mitoch applies is, again, a Shaila. There are Rishonim that say it only applies to Havara and Aitzot. Doesn't apply to anything else. Generally, the Halacha, we assume a broader notion than that, but there are Rishonim that say it only applies to Aitzot and Havara. That's it. So this is where we start in Hilchos Yontif. Now, how broad is the Heter? To what does it encompass? So the Pasuk ends, Acha sheyeyochel l'chol nefesh hu levado yeyoseh. What's the word lochem mean at the end of the Pasuk? Why do we have this word lochem? So in the Shas, we find two interpretations of Lachem. Lachem can refer to our status as our group as human beings, as opposed to non-human. Meaning that, as Chazal called it, Lachem v'loy l'klovim, I cannot cook a steak for my dog. I cannot carry hay down the block for my cow. Can't do malacha for them. Lachem could also mean in a different way, your particular group, really the group of Jews versus non-Jews that I can't do malacha for. Lachem b'loy la'akum. Two interpretations in the Gemara and Be'er. Fascinating that the Shulchan Aruch incorporates both interpretations. That I cannot do malacha for non-Jews, nor in a different sense can I not do malacha for animals. So it's not, again, even when we say that Ritzoh and Avor, Bishel, or Mutter, they have limitations. It's not carte blanche. It's within these parameters, within the parameters of Jews, versus non-Jews, people versus animals. So there are those those are some of the limitations that we have. Now, as I said, I couldn't go, if I didn't have dog food, I couldn't carry dog food from your house to my house unless there was an Erev. So the Erev serves a lot of functions on Yom Tov, not only on Shabbos. What do we need the Erev for on Yom Tov? I need the Erev for on Yom Tov. Well, you know, I get the newspaper, and my next door neighbor also gets the newspaper. But my next door neighbor is a very nice Italian. And this morning his newspaper didn't come. So he comes over to me and says, listen, you know, you also got the paper. Could you do me a favor? When you finish with the paper, if you could just drop it off by me. You know, he's a good neighbor. When I'm away, he watches my house. He takes care of me. He brings the packages and whatever. He does what a neighbor's supposed to do, you know. So I try to look out for him, too. When he's away, I take care of his. Take the mail in, see the newspapers and the advertisements get carried away, whatever. You do the things of one neighbor, the neighborly things to do. So I'm in a little bit, if I wouldn't have an error, I'm in a bind. I can't bring him the newspaper. I would just have to tell him, listen, you know, you could come over and pick it up. I'll leave it on the porch for you when I'm finished. But, you know, but I can't go over, I can't bring it to him. I can't do malocho for my animal. I can't bring him food. I can't cook for him. He likes barbecued steaks, you know. And me, I'm in love with my dog. So I would make him a barbecued steak. But I don't if I'm not allowed.
I must feed my cow. I must feed my animal.
Yes.
Right. So, I must feed.
So you have to have food prepared beforehand. You can't do malocha.
You might be able to ask a guy to bring it.
That's right. Possible. But you have to prepare.
You can't cook it.
Yeah, you can't cook it, and you can't carry it. You know. You know, we have to follow them with the motto of the Boy Scouts.
When you feed him, do you have to say a bracha with him?
It depends if he's up to it. I get if you got Billums talking cow, maybe, you know, talking donkey, I guess you'd have to, you know, say a bracha. So you have to follow the motto of the Boy Scouts, be prepared.
Right. You know,
that's the chochmah. Now, we have this din that you cannot do malocha for a guy. A chazal had a very keen eye in implementing the halacha. You have to have a very keen eye how life is actually lived. How does it play out in the real world? And to know what the pitfalls are and what to be careful about. So in the Gemara in Be'ah, we find the following, that ein mazminim akum, that one may not invite a non-Jew to participate in a yontav meal with us. There's an exception, as we'll say, on Shabbos is an exception to that rule. In other words, if yontav is on Shabbos, and similarly, on Shabbos itself, we can invite a non-Jew, but not on Yom Tov itself. Why? We create a very devilish problem, a catch-22 from which we're not going to escape. I invite Cohn, Mizrahi, Goldberg to join me for my Yom Tov meal. I also invite my Italian friend, or my Irish friend, O'Connor. Also, you know, want to see what a Jewish meal is on Yom Tov. I invite him too. Listen, we're good buddies. So I invite him. Cohn says, listen, you know, could you make me a cup of korban? Oh, yeah, sure. Put up to the water to boil. Mizrahi says, can you make me a fried egg? Put up a fried egg for him. Half an hour goes by. O'Connor says, you know, I'm in the mood for a coffee. Could you make me a coffee? Oh, well, I don't cook for you on, you know. Cook for everybody else. I'm a second-rate guest in your house. Are you talking? So, I'm a good host. I don't want him to be a second-rate guest. So what do? I cooked the water for him. So I made him a first-rate guest, but what did I do? I trashed the halacha. So where do I go? Which way do I run?
I do how I run.
So Chazal said, Ein mazminim akum. That's all. Don't get your head in that situation in the first place, because you're not going to win. It's interesting. The Rashba writes, it's true, even if I cooked all the food before Yom Tov, there were still guys, because this doesn't mean that something won't come up that I'll have to cook again, or a general rule they made. That's it. It's a general rule. We don't do such things. There is a known case, and we'll come back to that in a moment, that Rav Kook, the Tzal, invited the British governor, the non-Jewish governor, to the Seder with him on Yom Tov. I don't know if it wasn't Shabbos, I'm not sure. But even if it wasn't, there's a heter for Shloim Malchus, for governmental relations. But that heter is that I have to cook all the food before. I can't cook any food on Yom Tov. And then for Shloim Malchus, for government relations, one is allowed to do so. But that's a very rare exception. Rav Kook, as the chief rabbi of Palestine, was in the situation that he had to deal with the British governor for the sake of the community. So he did so. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Now, we have another case, a very common shaila that people ask. And that is, what happens if I have somebody as an aide? I have an employee that works in the house, the cleaning lady. She can't eat in my house. I mean, I give her lunch every day she's there. But on Yom Tov, she can't eat in my house. So there we have articulated by the Rosh to follow. The Rosh says this is only assuming that I took social responsibility for the person. They're my guest. An employee, I don't have social responsibility for them. So I'm not, listen, if I don't want to cook for them, I won't cook for them. I don't know, nothing makes me want, you know, I'm not embarrassed to tell them, listen, I can't cook for you today. You're not my guest. So from food which was prepared before Yom Tov, they're allowed to eat. But we're not concerned that I feel pressured to cook for them. And similarly, if an non-Jew winds up in your house uninvited, in other words, it's not that he like made some gentle inquiry and then you invited him and then he's a guest, you know. You know, I would have, listen, my old mailman, it doesn't happen with the new ones, but my old mailman, Tom would come into my house. He had to bring the mail, whatever. He was a friendly guy. It's not that I invited him in, whatever. He had some reason to come in, you know. So when we made the Shmini Atzeres party, you know, I was there. I didn't invite him to a meal, but whatever. He'd come in the house, he'd stop by, whatever, give him a drink and a piece of cake, you know. He wasn't my guest, per se, but, you know, Tom came. Tom was the mailman, and he'd come into the house, and he was a friendly guy. So we gave him a little something to drink, a little piece of cake, and that's it. We didn't invite him to a meal, invite him at all. But he came, so, you know. So that's also, this is also mutter, and it's a very common case that we have. Both people have aides, people have employees that work in the house. So we're allowed, we can't do malacha for them. That's very important to know. But we may, in fact, let them eat of the food which was pre-prepared before Yom Tov. Now, we're not finished with this pasuk yet. We had a term, it says, Ach Hashayah Yochel Chol Nefesh. What does Chol Nefesh mean? Now, I might have said, well, listen, I also read in Parshas Emor last week, Makin Nefesh Behema Yishalmena. So an animal is called a nefesh. So maybe kol nefesh means I could do malacha for animals. But I have a little bit of a problem. I just said lechem at the end of the pasuk says that I can't do malacha for animals. So it can't be coming to tell me that you're allowed to do malacha for animals too. Because the end of the pasuk tell me that's not true. So what do I do with this part of the pasuk? I can show you yochel lechol nefesh. What's the word lechol? So the Gemara addresses this in Ksuvas and Dav Zayin. From the standpoint of Chazal, they considered the burning of incense idiosyncratic, an unusual practice, not a common practice. And Chazal said that you can't burn incense on Yom Tov. Why? Because it has to be something which is Shobel Chol Nefesh, is a very highly popular type of use, not something of limited use. Now, how far it goes, does it mean when we say the chol nefesh, does it have to mean everybody? So Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't take it that way. There are varied views in Achron. Rav Moshe said something which has a very broad following, even if it's far from everybody, but you know, something millions of people, tens of millions of people in the world do. It's hard to say it's not shovel the chol nefesh, you know. We're obviously not going to find something that 100% of the world agrees to. That's not happening. Right? That's never going to happen in this world. So where do you draw the line? So Rav Moshe Zatzal felt that something which tens of millions of people do should be considered Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. A or koponim, so only, so in a sense, Chazal considered idiosyncratic, eccentric. So Chazal asked, but the Gemara raised the following question. If you studied history, world history, so you know who ate venison, right, from deer. Venison was the food of the nobility. A common man never ate it. He probably maybe wasn't even allowed to eat it. It could have been punishable if he was caught eating it. This was reserved for the nobility, venison. So the Gemara raised the following question. Let's say a person wants to be sheikh of a deer on Shabbos. And, you know, so only the nobility has it. Most of the world doesn't eat deer. So is it mutter or not? If you tell him he has to be shovel the chol nefesh, this is not shovel the chol nefesh. Most people don't eat it. So the Gemara answers that shovel the chol nefesh doesn't mean that everybody likes this particular dish. Shovel the chol nefesh means the need that it's addressing to eat. That's shovel the chol nefesh. Everybody has to eat. You know, we have all different diets. One guy is a vegetarian. One guy is a vegan. Another guy, listen, he wants sausage for breakfast. Forget about it, you know. Man's food, you know. Where's the beef, you know? Don't bother him with anything else. There are all different diets in this world. You know, we eat pasta, and in China they eat rice. But at the bottom line, we're all addressing the same need. The human body has to be nourished. We're providing it with nourishment. Which nourishment? That doesn't make a difference. That doesn't remove it or place it into shovel the chol nefesh and not shovel the chol nefesh. It's all shovel the chol nefesh. Now, you might say, well, listen, where's the relevance of this to me? I don't think I ever burnt incense in my life. You know, back in the strange 60s, I might have had a roommate that burned incense. You know, that's the 60s was a rather eclectic age of all types of, you know, things from all over the world. But, you know, it was never a thing. I never burned incense. So where is this principle relevant to me? It has to be shovel the chol nefesh. So let me explain to you. I once asked a shayla. Shayla, we debated when I was in Kailo. And I had occasion shortly after that to go to Eretz Yisrael the first time to spend time with Rabbi Yosef Zatzal. Topshin Mem Vav, Shavuos time. I arrived, in fact, Mem Aleph Laimer, I came to Eretz Yisrael. Remember the day still. And Mem Aleph Laimer, I came to Eretz Yisrael. And one of the shaylos that I asked Rabbi Yosef Zatzal is the following. Could you add water to a hot water vaporizer? Now let's assume there's a way they had, you know, sometimes you have to take the mechanism out, you put in the water, and then only when you put it back in the water does it go on again. Let's say there's a way to feed water without a spout, whatever, that you don't have to turn off the machine. Could you feed water into it? You know, because of mitoch. We just said that there's a din of mitoch. So just listen, this is a tzarech. I have a tzarech. It's a tzarech for today. It's not for tomorrow. Am I allowed to or not? So he told me you're not allowed. So I came back to him the next day. He liked me. Otherwise, I couldn't get away with this. And, you know, you know, if you came and you started bothering him for his reasons, he told you, so long, you know, have a good day. He didn't have time for you. He was a very busy person. He didn't want every guy that learned for 3 minutes in a yeshiva to have a, you know, to spend a half an hour with him. There was no point. So I came back there and I said, listen, there's a Chuvas Ksav Sefer that says otherwise. So he looks at me and he says, look, let me tell you. The Ksav Sofer is based on the Pnei Yeshua's interpretation of a Tosfos and the Lama Tesam and Beis and Shabbos. He says, is that there are other Pshatim other than the Pnei Yeshua's in that Tosfos too. Number one. Secondly, he says, even if we accept the Pnei Yeshua's interpretation, the Ramban and the Yireyim both say otherwise. He quoted them from the Imre Bina. Imre Bina wrote about it, and he recites the Ramban, and the Urayim is disagreeing with that position. So he says, even if we grant the Pnei Yeshua this Pshat Taisus, we still have the Ramban and the Urayim, and the Isa Deraisa on the other side, so that would settle the matter. and we're not sure that that's Tratantos is any here. Now, what is this, where does this come from ultimately? It's very interesting. The Chai Odom discusses this. And where do we find? We find another place in Shas, in Sukkah, where there's a discussion of something that has to be shoveled the whole nefesh. We have a halacha that Ma'is Hashemi, I can consume in a conventional fashion, which is shovel the whole nefesh. If I make up some strange use for Ma'is Hashemi that nobody else in the world would do, I'm not allowed to use Ma'is Hashemi to eat in Yerushalayim in that fashion. The Gemara says that has to be shovel the whole nefesh. So the Gemara says the following. What's not shovel the whole nefesh? Suppose I want to take a garlic and make an ointment from it, you know? That's awesome. That's not shovel the whole nefesh. So the Chai Odom says, you see from there, that on Yontif, a medicinal use is not considered shovel the whole nefesh. So putting water in the vaporizer, cooking some medicine, you know, herb to use for medicinal purposes would not be acceptable. It's not considered shovel the whole nefesh. Why? Because most people are healthy most of the time. So, you know, it's not eating. We all have to eat every day. Baruch Hashem, most of us don't have to take medicine every day. Most of us are Baruch Hashem healthy people, you know. So, therefore, it's not considered shovel the whole nefesh. There's a lot of implications of that. Let's say a person, you know, another reason that we need the Eruv. I saw it's mutter. Oh, yeah, it's mutter. It's nice to know. But let's look at all the exceptions that we have. We have so far, Hitzor for a non-Jew is awesome. Hitzor for an animal is awesome. And now we have Hitzor for something which is not shovel l'chol nefesh. So somebody's ill and they want medicine. I want to go to the pharmacy and carry the medicine home from the pharmacy to their house. But there's no Erev. So I have to rely upon the heter of mitoch. But I can't do malocha on Yontif with something which is not shovel l'chol nefesh. So medicine is not shovel l'chol nefesh. I could ask the pharmacy to deliver it, because even though there's a malocha, for the sake of a chayla, a non-Jew may do any and all malochas in Shabbos and Yontif. So I could have him deliver it, he could do the hitzot. But I can't go to the pharmacy and put it in my pocket and take it home for him. I wouldn't be able, let's say I'm afraid I'm going to get a headache, and I want to take a couple of aspirins with me to shul. I wouldn't be able to do so if there's no Erev. If it's a medicine that a person needs because for a very serious medical condition, which could chalila be life-threatening, that's something else. That's a whole different story. And there's basis to take it. But less than that, so this, the impact of this din, the thing should be shovel the chol nefesh, has very serious implications in the halacha l'maisa. So that's another exception that we have. Now, another exception that we have is malacha is only permissible for the same day of Yontif, other than in the Erev Tavshilin case. But in the absence of the Erev Tavshilin case, any malacha, I can't do malacha the first day of Shabbos on Sunday for the second day. You know, I'll bake a challah. I have some extra time Sunday. I'll bake challah, so I'll have challah for the second day's meal. I cannot do meyontu de chaver. Whether it's a deraisa, it's a derabonin, it's a machlik, it's a meroyim, what it is, how to work out exactly. It's a shaila in the Gemara. It's a machlik is, I think, rabban of chizdan, of memphavam and bezim soch. Now,
the second day is more lenient, though, right?
It doesn't make a difference. You cannot.
Second day is more lenient is for taking medication.
Medications, yes, and for burial of the dead. Those two things. But you can, you cannot bake on Yontif with the first or second day, other than for use on that day. Okay, that I know. Along comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger says there's something else that we need to know. That I won't do. I know already. They you know, the Rebbe at Megillah learned that you can't make do from one day until to the next. That I have straight. I'm in a situation. Let's say comes Shabbos, next Shabbos, a week from Shabbos. I'm eating Shalosh Shudas, and I'm eating a late Shalosh Shudas. It's already after Tzeitzer Kochavim, and I still didn't bench yet. So I said, you know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't put it that way. I'm eating a meal the first day Yontif, not much Shabbos. I'm eating a meal the first day Yontif, and I'm running into the second day Yontif. You know, let him bench in between, running the meal. Now, the sun set, and I'm still eating. I washed early. It's not different than Shabbos with Shabbos Shuvos. I can keep on eating, whatever. There are the parameters the Gemara discusses, right? Rabbi Yossi says in the Gemara in Arvi Pesachim at the beginning that if you started a meal, you can keep right on going, right into Shabbos. Good. And when Shabbos comes, you Peiros Rapa, you Mekadosh, and you're fine. So Gemara Mefureshes. So now it's 15 minutes after Shkia, and they say, you know something? I'd like a cup of coffee. But I don't have any hot water. Okay, it's Yontif. I'll put the kettle up, I'll boil up some hot water, and I'll make a cup of coffee for myself. In 5 minutes, it'll be ready. So Zuckra Vekibayger, right at the beginning of Hilchos Yontif, it's also to do such. Why? Bein HaShmoshes, twilight, in between sunset and Tzeitzot Lechovim, has three possibilities what it is. It may be entirely daytime. So it means that it's part of yesterday, so that I would be fine then, part of the first day. It may be all night time, and that's also fine. So it's already part of the second day. So I'm cooking for the second day, for the second day. But there's a third possibility that I have to be concerned with, and that part of it is day and part of it is at night, and it's at some unknown point it switches from one to the other. So maybe when I'm cooking for these 5 minutes, I'm cooking the water, I started on for day one, and I finished on day two. So I'm not going to be prepared. So I've cooked, in effect, from one day until to the next. So Rabbi Vega says, I'm not allowed to do such a thing. Now, there's a very interesting twist to this. And that is the following. That, let's say I want to walk to shul, holding a sefer, and it's during Bein HaShmoshes, in the twilight time. After the shkia, I'm on the way to shul. And I have my Gemara. I want to learn when I get to shul, so I'm taking my Gemara with me. So will I say the same thing? Well, wait a second. You know, it took you 10 minutes to get to shul. It's during twilight. So maybe when you were marching down there to shul, it was the daytime. When you got into shul, it was already the next day. So you did a tzor for tomorrow. So Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal had a very interesting notion. He said, since it could be used at any second while you're carrying it, you're not waiting. A cup of coffee, you're waiting for the water to boil. So I can't use it. A safer, I could use at any moment. So he says, there we have a principle of hoyil, that since I could use it at this moment, so mameila is a heter to do malacha. So mameila, since at any second I could use it as I'm carrying it, he says, Rabbi Kivega's restriction would not apply. Beginning of the shir, a yontif is to provide an element of social cohesiveness of Klal Yisrael. That's why there's a particular mitzvah on yontif, for every yontif, to extend ourselves, to assist the impoverished to have the needs of yontif. The Rambam writes the following. Rambam writes the following, and we'll explore the Rambam a little bit. He says, a person that celebrates Yom Tov and he locks his gates, he's there with his family, and the impoverished can't enter. So the Rambam says he's not celebrating Yom Tov. It's Simchas Kreisa. He's celebrating his physical-based desires. But the Shaila is, why the Rambam writes that? A person may, in fact, intend L'Shem Shemayim, wants to celebrate Yom Tov, but he happens to be cheap. So since he's cheap, that's it. He doesn't want to share with others. So, you know, it's to be a kamtzen is a deficiency. In fact, in some of the Sforum, we find that the Zohar says it's a ruach atumah. It's And it's a very, very difficult thing for a person to overcome. It's not only a lapse in midas, it takes on a life much larger than that. So I want to rank the guy out that he's a kamtzen and he doesn't get stuck and he doesn't care for the aniyim. All fine. But why did the Rambam declare that this is not Simchas Yontov? It's Simchas Kreis. It's desiring, fulfilling his base needs. This Rambam troubled me for a long time. I tossed and turned with it many, many different directions. And what I ultimately came to was the following. The Inyan of Yontif is our connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We recite the Hallel, the Nisim that the Rabbeinu Shalom did for us. Now, so our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom is Bonim Atem LaShem Elokecha. We are your children and you're our Vino Avarachal. Okay. Now, I come to see a person and I tell him how important and how much I respect him, how much I care for him, and how much I appreciate his affection for me. So he has one question to ask me. He says, you know, my son came to you yesterday and he was down and out. He didn't have a morsel of food to eat. Didn't have anything to drink. And he knocked on your door. And you knew it was my son. And he threw him out. If you really cared for me, could you have done that to my son? You know, it's my son. He knocked on the door. And it was obviously, you could give one look at him. You see, he wasn't not in good shape. Hadn't eaten in 2 days. And he kicked him out. So what does that say about your relationship with me? You're not there. Don't pretend. If you cared about me, then you have to care about my children. And personally, I have to tell you, I'm extremely solicitous of the children of my friends that have helped me along the way. Extremely solicitous. Once a person came from Eretz Yisrael and I told him, I will extend any help that I can conceivably, possibly can for you. Why? Because the chasodim that your father did for me, the least I could do to pay him back. Is that his son comes and needs help. If anything that I could conceivably do, just ask me and I'll do it. Because that's the ava, that's the connection that you have to a person. So that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that if we're truly connected with the Rabbeinu Shalom, so the Rabbeinu Shalom says, well, you know, that Oni down the block, that's my son. How'd you throw him out? So that means you don't mean me. You don't mean me, you mean yourself. It's simple as crazy. I have a chumash, Rabbi Yisrael, chamisha chumash yitayr, I need parshas for A. I'll share with you a Rashi, a phenomenal Rashi. Now, the smaller the better. Easier to hold. Okay, that's, yeah. That does it. Let's learn a Rashi together. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Ata you, ubincha ubitecha. Va'avdecha va'amasecha, va'alevi asher b'sharecha, va'ager va'yosom va'almona. Right? So you have, so Rashi says, va'alevi, va'ager va'yosom va'almona. Arbo ashali. These four are mine, the Rabbeinu Shalom says. They're my people. And these correspond. Kinegra bo shalacha. Is ato, bincho, vitecho, and abdecho ba masecho. It's four. Bincho, vitecho, abdecho ba masecho. Im ato mesameach is shali. If you're mesameach, the four, the almona, the ger, the yosef, the Levi, the Amona, the Ger, and the Yosef, as an Ime Sameach HaShochot, that I promised you that I will be Sameach, those that are yours. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is particularly involved with the downtrodden. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, take care of my children, the ones that are on my cheshbon. And if you do, you can rely upon me, I'll take care of the ones that are on your cheshbon. And the one that I'm indebted to for pointing out is Rashi in its invitation, which is the Safna Rebbe Zechotzalik Lebrocha, the Dibriyoyo. He was renowned for his tzedakah and for encouraging his people, pushing them to the hilt, to be balei tzedakah. He's come to every hospital where there are Jews, and you have the Bikur Chayim. Millions and millions of dollars a year to run this operation. And there are people that are working on it. I had occasion once to have to go. I didn't realize I passed the door a million times. In a little obscure basement on Ross Street, is they have a kitchen over there. They churn out meals for the people in the hospitals, for shut-ins. Not just generic, exactly, custom-made. You know, this guy needs without salt, this guy needs this, this guy needs that, whatever. Custom-made and delivered daily, all over New York. This was the women's Bikur Chayim, the men's Bikur Chayim, of course, Pesach. It's a different place that they work at. Millions of dollars a year. So someone came to him and they asked him, listen, financially, I'm not in such good shape. I'm not in such good shape. So, should I cut back on my tzedakahs? So the Satmar Rebbe told him, look what Rashi says. The Rebbe says, if you take care of my four, I'll take care of your four. So you be busy taking care of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam will take care of you and your business. It was, I just brought in the story with Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. I had, the last couple of months, I've been a rather focused in a different fashion. I can't go around and do a lot of the things that I normally do, so I'm home a lot. And I've read, you know, Svarim, hundreds and hundreds of pages of Svarim. So in there is a story that a person came, and what happened was there were two chaver, and they went forth in life, and one did financially well, and one was a year in London. They might have both been London, but one was doing financially well, and the other was in bad shape. So he found that his chava was in bad shape. So he went to his chava and said, listen, from now on, your Shabbos is on me. Everyone, make Shabbos for myself, I'm making Shabbos for you. Whatever you need, whatever, I pay the bill. Okay, he appreciated that a chava that cared for him so much. And this went on for a long time. V'hoya v'yay mahu, that the person of means had setbacks financially, and he wasn't doing as well, and it was very hard for him to maintain it. So he went, and he told him, listen, Kozman, that you were doing financially well, you want to take care of me, my maid, but if you're in a tough shape too, how can I take from you? So he said, I'll think about it. So I think he went to Rav Aaron Leib, and he told him like this. He said, I have no choice, I have to continue to support my chavos. I told him, how you talk, you don't have money for it. He says, you don't understand. My concern for him is such that I can't eat on Shabbos knowing that he doesn't have what to eat. So I'm not spending, this is a chelik of my Oynik Shabbos, is to take care of him. Otherwise, I won't have Oynik Shabbos. How can I sit down and eat? I'm eating a fish and a chicken and a chicken soup and a knedel and a cholent, and my neighbor down the block has barely a piece of challah to eat. My good friend. It's my Oynik Shabbos. Well, my Oynik Shabbos says you can't stock it, it's limited. But for your own Oynik Shabbos, it says the Rebbeinu Shalom pays you back. This is the chelik of my Oynik Shabbos. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, be the Sameach Shali, and I'll be the Sameach Shalom. Yes. Have a good afternoon.